you know, then take it on board and improve on it. And your level is still not as, what you got to be the most even graded, but at undergrad level, the number of times that I and also Bob has told me and other professors, we see students just throw them in the bin on their way out the door once they've seen their grade, and you've spent, you know, 45 minutes and half an hour going through, and they don't even look at it. So that's why, over the years, I've changed into this more draft policy, and some hate it, some like it. You never please everybody.
Yeah, you see more of it if you're actually DAing, and if you give them feedback.
That's right, that's true.
Just look at it. It's not a good thing.
I like it, too, because it enables me to give more short assignments so that I can actually see what people's thinking is. I mean, if I can pick on Marty because he's not here tonight.
You are being virtually here.
For example, in his paper, which I'll point out to him last week, he wrote a small section at the end, which really shows me that he's thinking about the concept with a positivist hat on. Okay, so he hasn't made the shift yet, and that's okay. That's because that shows where he's at now. Like, and where many researchers are at when they approach the idea of qualitative, because they think, oh, I'm just not using statistics, so therefore, but I still have to have reliable, valid data, and, you know. But, and so Marty, yes, since you're listening, that, not to pick on you, but that this, you gave at least a good example of how I could see that in your thinking. And then I was able to engage with you in your paper on that issue. So just to take an example, I foolishly forgot my glasses tonight. So if I look like I'm scowling at you all, it won't be to see you, it'll be when I'm reading I'm scowling, because I see fine in distance, but I can't read close up, so I'm going to be really straining a little. But I'll just give you an example. So he says, first of all, he calls people who are participating in research subjects. So that was a dead giveaway right away. We know that in any research now, we really shouldn't be, we should always be the participant and not the word subjects, even if you're doing positivist research because of the new standard of ethical guidelines. But even that aside, that's really rooted in that tradition, just calling participants subjects. So he said, from recording observations reported by the subject, we are left to assume that the situation unfolded as described by the subject. Their memory may deceive them, as may their interpretation of what may have actually happened. For example, in social network analysis, it is not uncommon to interview one subject about the relationships he has, and then follow up with all those contacts to get the reciprocal view of each relationship in order to triangulate a less biased reality. So I said, this is not a phenomenological epistemology that you're thinking about, this whole notion with it. Because if you're thinking like that, yes, that's absolutely correct from within that frame. That is how you'll be schooled and thought and how you'll approach research and think about it. But we're trying to shift that. And if we don't manage to shift it, then doing the kinds of methods, or using the kind of methods we're studying here, you won't do a good job of it. It won't work. You'll either do something, you'll do both badly. You know what I mean? You'll be stuck in between the two. So we need to be able to shift beyond. So another example, and I told him, I said, just think about the language that you're using even when you're thinking about these issues. Another sentence, just to pick one out that he said, is our state of mind, unless immediately interpreted from objective observation to a subjective record of what we may falsely believe was an account of an objective reality. So just the language. So you're talking about falsities again, about objective reality being a real thing, that the subject is going to be less or biased or incorrect compared to that, which is the real thing. And then he said it may be possible to curb a misinterpretation of events by using audio-video equipment. How is that going to occur from this interpretation of events? Again, if you're using this different epistemology. And then finally, in reporting on qualitative research, we cannot control how a reader interprets the report. And I just had to underline just the word control even in there. You know, like, why do we want to control the reader's interpretation? I use it not to point out anything correct in Marty's writing here. It's just to show that this is how difficult it is to make this transition sometimes from thinking that we've been trained and orientated towards and shifting it. Some of you have an easier time if you've already studied deconstructions and postmodernism has been something that's interested you. You've already made a lot of that intellectual switch. Now to make it in terms of methodology is the next step. But it's even, imagine how hard it is if you put yourself in the place of trying to teach an undergraduate qualitative research methods course. And you know they've already had nothing but that foundation of quantitative and science. Plus, they live in a measurement culture. You know, so you've got a big tough job to get.